Tango Tango Papa 2053, May 7, 2020.
Have we seen the actual reality of a monstrous crime? Or merely an illusion, the product of a tortured brain?
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Tom Wiles here with you, coming to you this evening from Beloit, Wisconsin. So I just came back to work actually yesterday. It was early yesterday afternoon. It was about 12-something whenever I left home. So I picked a load up at yesterday afternoon at North Little Rock, Arkansas, and then that load delivers in the morning at 9 a.m. About 38 miles from where I'm at right now, Beloit, Wisconsin. It delivers to Whitewater, Wisconsin. So I'm at Beloit, and it's, like I say, it's about 38 miles from here. So was home for about, you know, I took my full 5 days off, and unfortunately the restaurants have not opened up yet for dining in Arkansas. Someone initially said, well, they thought it was going to be the first, May the 1st, but it turns out it's going to be May the 15th. So hopefully whenever I go home the next time, towards the end of this month, in a little over 3 weeks, should be home again for more time off. The restaurant should be back opened up, and you know, I can kind of resume my normal activities, you know, whenever I go home, you know, kind of the socializing activities. So but you know, apart from not being able to eat in restaurants, you know, which is, I don't know, the only way it kind of, you know, it limited my socializing abilities, you know, because I, you know, kind of make the rounds. I've got different people that I see and what have you, and kind of put a stop to that because no place to go. No place to go hang out. So, but otherwise, while I was home, I hung out at the house, you know, and of course, usually whenever I'm home, I always end up doing some kind of cleaning or something. I've got things to do. And, so I did, one of the days I was home, I made a trip over to a Ford dealer with the pickup. The front, you know, it's a four-wheel drive pickup. It's a 98 F-150, so the thing is, you know, it's 98 model, so it's old. It's more than old enough to vote. But it's otherwise, it's in decent shape, and it's 135,000 miles on it or something like that, which is low mileage considering it's a 98 model. So, and I have no intention of ever replacing it, you know, as long as it, you know, I don't wreck it or something, and as long as it keeps running, I intend to keep it running. So, but the four-wheel drive, the front, I'm having problems again with the front axle not wanting to kick into the four-wheel drive mode. And so this dealer diagnosed it, and short of it, it's going to cost about $1,700 to fix it, which is fine. I don't have a problem spending some money on it now and then. I've had to do that in the past more than once. So I'm willing to do that again, because it's, I'd rather spend a little money and keep the thing up, and, you know, the whole point of keeping that pickup, apart from hauling a few things around, is, the four-wheel drive. the four-wheel drive can be very important from time to time. You know, not very often, but when I need it, I really need it. So I don't, you know, whenever I go home again, I've got to, you know, I'll make an appointment. They had to order the parts, to repair it. There's some kind of a motor or something that wasn't working, and then maybe some sort of a module or some kind of a module that was maybe also involved. So, before I, you know, when I kind of nail the days down for sure that I'm going to be home, which I told them I'd like to be home by the 31st, I believe. Once I'm sure that's going to happen, then I'll call them and, kind of nail down an appointment while I'm home. And then they can, you know, take it back over there. And he said it would be about a 4 or 5 hour job. So I'll, you know, I basically have no alternative other than to just kind of sit and wait at the dealership, which is fine. I can do that. So did that. What else did I do? I think I mentioned maybe in the last podcast that I had purchased some speakers. I had these great big speakers. They were in my dining room, VMPS. It's a kind of a now defunct boutique manufacturer. You know, basically it was one guy, and the guy died, I think, in 2014 or 2015. These speakers, you know, I purchased them way back in, I think probably around 1987. And I had them all those years. Now, the problem that I had with them, part of the drivers, the bass drivers, deteriorated. You know, the foam surrounds just utterly deteriorated, just crumbled, basically just, you know, crumbled apart. So, you know, and it's possible that the whatever crossover electronics that he used in the speaker, you know, probably, you know, may or may not have... also deteriorated, I don't know, but I was faced with the option, well, I guess, you know, do nothing or get rid of them or, send those speakers off to be replaced or to be repaired, the drivers, the big bass drivers, send those off to be repaired some combination thereof, you know, maybe even have to do something with crossover, you know, because that sometimes the electronics that they use in crossovers, if they're using electrolytics, those deteriorate after 10 or 20 years. And so I didn't really, you know, and of course this speaker also had a big, like a 15-inch passive radiator at the very bottom of it, and I had no way of knowing that may have deteriorated too. It's very possible that it did. So, you know, in both speakers. So I took those speakers to Goodwill. But in the meantime, I think I mentioned in the last podcast, I bought some Pioneer speakers. Andrew Jones was a designer, you know, back, and he designed these things like 7 years ago when he was still working for Pioneer. Now he works for a company called Elac. And so those speakers came, and I'm pretty happy with the sound that they produced. And I was aware of the fact that they probably would be incapable of producing the very, you know, like really deep bass. And so, and I was aware of that. And so I ended up buying a Polk. Let's see, it's PSW108 is the model number. It's a kind of a $150 10-inch subwoofer. And, I did a little research. I watched a few videos about it, and, it seems to have very good ratings every place it's sold online. So I ended up buying it from, one of the two local Best Buy stores, and because the one of them had it in stock and the other one didn't. And so that's what, you know, about the, it was a black model, which is perfect because it matches the speakers, the Pioneer speakers. The other option would have been cherry, but they just had the one black, and like I said, that was fine. I was willing to take whatever they had. And I'm, you know, pleasantly surprised with the result. Really impressed with it. Now, you know, I don't like really loud music, you know, even, you know, I want to be able to, I want everything to be very clear. I want the sound to be very clear, and that combination seems to work very well. And so that's just kind of a two-channel setup that I actually have in my dining room. I made a video, actually, kind of a short review video of the subwoofer, because I really couldn't, even though there were some videos about it, nobody really kind of described the sound or how happy they were with the sound. So I made a brief video about that. I posted it on my channel on YouTube. And, you know, so you can kind of check that out if you want to. But, you know, I'm really pleased with the way it came out, the sound. You know, so, and like I say, I don't turn the stuff up really loud, and, you know, the subwoofer is rated, I believe it's rated at 50 watts. I think it puts out more than that. I think it puts out about 60 watts, according to one of the videos that I watched. They were saying it put out like 63 watts with very low distortion. So I'm not, you know, I'm not pushing it that hard. I don't, you know, I'm not pushing it that hard. But it otherwise, it does sound good. For $150, it sounds great. You know, like in a, especially if, now if you had a giant room and you wanted to really push the volume, yeah, you're going to need something more beefy. But that particular unit, is PSW-108, is I'm impressed with it. Very happy with the combination between it and the Andrew Jones speakers. Because the Andrew Jones, those FS-52 speakers from Pioneer, Andrew Jones designed, those are very good speakers. They're amazingly good for the price. But the only problem is they don't really produce much bottom, you know, the really deep bass, they just don't produce. And I like my deep bass. So, made a really good pairing. So I did that, and let's see what else. So, you know, otherwise I was just kind of at home and hanging out. And as I say, I came back to work yesterday. Had a pleasant surprise this morning. I spent the night at, there's this truck stop on US 67. And it's right on the Arkansas-Missouri border, on the Missouri side. And that's, I spent the night there. And it's not too far, I think, from like Poplar Bluff, Missouri, except it's kind of, this is sort of out in the middle of nowhere. You know, it's just right across the state line in the, on the Missouri side from Arkansas on Highway 67. And so I spent the night there, and then this morning, you know, they have a restaurant there, and the restaurant is actually, Missouri opened their restaurants on May the 4th for dining in once again. So that was pretty nice to be able to go in a restaurant, place an order, sit down, and get, you know, have the waitress wait on me. You know, that's one of those things that we've always taken for granted, and then all of a sudden it's not available, and then you realize what a wonderful convenience that is to be able to just go in someplace, order food, and eat it right there. That's an amazingly convenient thing, and we just kind of took it for granted. So, of course, once I left Missouri, now I'm in Wisconsin, and I am now. I was in Illinois. Illinois still has their, the no dining, no in restaurant dining thing going on. So earlier, I was at Rochelle, Illinois, earlier this evening, and I stopped at this Petro truck stop, Iron Skillet restaurant, and I had, you know, ordered, and then they filled the order very quickly, and then went back out to my truck and ate it. And then I came on up here to Beloit, Wisconsin, you know, so I'd be a little bit closer to Whitewater, Michigan, where the load delivers tomorrow at 9 a.m. So, and then where I'm at here is Flying J, and there's Denny's, and the Denny's is still just doing takeout only. However, I did call them, and I found out that, because I was too lazy to walk inside, I called them and found out that the Denny's is open 24 hours, which, you know, that's the first restaurant that I've found lately that's open 24 hours. I've not understood that. Well, you know, a truck stop, you know, the truck stop's open 24 hours. No, the restaurant hours are like 8 to 9 or something, or 8 to 8, or, you know, some quacky thing. I don't understand that. You know, why did they want to limit the hours? I guess they're trying to keep people, it's almost like they're imposing some sort of a curfew. Keep people at home. Don't, you know, well, it's a damn truck stop. What am I supposed to do? You know, I'm not going to eat that, you know, the wieners or what, you know, well, I will eat those, but I'm not going to eat their prepared sandwiches. Forget that. If I guess if I had to, I'd get the meat and the cheese out and just toss the buns. Wouldn't have a problem with that. The buns are poison. But, you know, I'm really convinced that pasta, potatoes, rice, and bread, any kind of really sugary stuff, you're poisoning yourself. If you're still eating that stuff, you're poisoning your it's a slow poison. Now, if you eat, let's say you eat one little thing, like I, you know, I think I've mentioned this before, I ate my dad's birthday, they brought, you know, we went to this place, and they brought, afterwards, we told her, because she asked, is it any special occasion? Well, it's Dad's birthday. It's a special occasion. So she, at the end of the meal, she brought this big thing of fried ice cream with three spoons. Well, I ate my portion of it, you know. That was once. That was back at Christmas when I was down in South Texas. I took my vacation with my parents. And then again a few months ago, whenever my nephew got married, ate a little, a little square of wedding cake. Fine and dandy. Not a problem. Do I make a habit of that? Hell no. Generally speaking, you know, like if they give me bread, if I tell them I don't want bread and they still give me bread anyway, like they did this evening at that Petro truck stop, I throw the bread away. I don't have any problem at all doing that. And people, oh, you're throwing food away. Well, hell yes, because it passes through your system anyway. If you pass the poison through your system, what's it going to do? It comes out the other end. In the meantime, you've had the poisonous effects, so you might as well just throw it straight away. That's the way I look at it. But when I was home, you know, I don't bring a scale with me here in the truck, but I do have a digital scale at home. And, you know, so your weight will actually vary a little, you know, somewhat. So at one point I was 147.6 pounds. And then yesterday when I weighed yesterday morning, it was 148. Which is really close. You know, it's like 4 ounces, which that's not very much difference. So I would say my weight is probably right now about, you know, on average it's going to be about 148, which is just remarkable. Considering that for years and years and years before I started this, back in December of 2018, which is about a year and a quarter ago, coming up on a, you know, pushing, you know, soon be coming up on a year and a half ago, I weighed 185 pounds. And I, you know, did for the longest time. Sometimes I weighed more than that, just depending. At my very worst, I weighed 225 pounds when I was working at that eye clinic. I was all the way up to 225. That's the most I've ever weighed in my life. You know, now I'm down to 148. So it's remarkable. And I'm eating as much as I want. Here's the other remarkable part. I'm just not eating the crap, the poison. People are poisoning themselves. It's insane. But everybody else is doing it. I can't give up my pasta. I can't give up my bread. I can't give up my rice. I can't give up my potatoes. I can't give up my cocaine, says a drug addict. So, you know, there is a real weight loss solution. Stop eating the carbohydrates. Just stop. That's all you got to do. That's all you have to do. And you will have real weight loss. You won't have weight gain. I feel great. You know, it's amazing. It's utterly amazing what cutting out carbohydrates has done and what it's capable of. So I've got a comment from Joel, and I just listened to the very first part of it. I think he's talking about things beginning to open up in Ohio. I have noticed that the traffic is kind of pretty much back, at least the parts of the country I've been in. Seems like the traffic's kind of going back to normal. Now, I don't know if that's true in every state, but it certainly seems to be true in the states I've been in, like, you know, in the past, let's say, past 2 weeks or 3 weeks. Seems to me the traffic is kind of more or less back to normal. So that's a good thing. And I think it's just a matter of time once states start opening up their restaurants and the different things. Everything, you know, I think most things are going to go back to normal pretty quickly. And I think there's, if you have some state governors that are dragging their feet, I think they're going to have a hard time continuing to drag their feet. I think the reason they would do that is so they can cripple the economy as long as possible, with the idea that they can derail President Trump's re-election. But they're barking up the wrong tree. So he's going to be re-elected, folks. That's what I think. Now, I might be wrong, but I believe that's what's going to happen. You know, and the states that are dragging their feet, you know, are probably tend to be, you know, they're going to vote Democrat anyway. So what, you know, they're just hurting their own constituents. But one thing that could be happening, and let's hope that it's, you know, it's just a little theory, but states like Michigan, where that female governor's, you know, really been, you know, kind of draconian with some of the edicts that she's pushed, it's showing people that normally would vote for Democrats, or maybe they don't vote at all. It's showing them all of a sudden, hey, this is what you voted for. Elections have consequences. You know, state elections have consequences too. City elections do too, by the way. Some of the mayors, you know, their tyrannical element has come out. You know, they can't help themselves. You got to understand that. And so they're showing who they really are. They can't keep it under wraps, you know. You have a heart, you know, and that's just generally true. That's a good general lesson for everyone, for all of us. Given the right set of circumstances, our real nature is going to come out. You know, whatever, you know, we may do a good job of kind of cloaking it or hiding it, maybe even hiding it from ourselves. But given the right set of circumstances, you know, if there's a demon in there, the demon comes out. The demon can't help but expose itself. So that's really a good lesson for everybody. Now, I've got a few little, I make notes ever so often. And so I'm just going to go through my notes here. I've got about, how many notes do I have? Oh, I've got about three of them. So one of the notes I made, the mainstream media is the voice of Satan. And in many ways, it really is. If you're, you look at it, they really are kind of the voice of Satan. They're there to the American mainstream media, and I think probably most mainstream media, is there to make your to make you doubt yourself, to sort of test your resolve, make try to get you to doubt yourself. Kind of present the false view of reality, so you'll come, maybe come to the wrong conclusion. But they really are kind of like the voice of Satan in a very real sense. Their aim is to create as much mass hysteria as they can. That's what they want. Mass hysteria. They've tried it. They do it with headlines. They'll make stories up. I just watched a video earlier from Project Veritas where CBS staged a fake, mostly fake testing line. There weren't enough people that wanted to be tested in this hospital in New York City. And so they staged a fake thing. They had the medical employees get in line in their cars when they could have been doing other work, and they were made it look like it was real testing, and that there were always all these people waiting to be tested for the coronavirus, and there were only a couple of real patients, and they made those people wait in line too. And then they weren't really testing any, the people that were doing the fake testing, they were just kind of standing there chit-chatting, while everybody else had to wait. And they had to wait, of course, to get all the cameras set up so it could all be staged properly for the CBS morning news. It's just utterly ridiculous. So they really are the voice of Satan. You've got to remember that, and it's best just to shut them off. Realize they're there to create mass hysteria and to mislead you. Another note, I had this realization, people will defend what they have feared. And oftentimes, people, let's say someone has really become afraid of something, let's say this coronavirus. They really become coronavirus believers, and they sort of buy into this mass hysteria to a degree. Well, what, you either have the ability then to admit when you realize, if the realization strikes you that maybe this isn't as bad as what I thought, or what I believed, or what I, maybe it isn't as bad, maybe I was wrong. You can either say that, or, kind of realize that, or you defend it. And a lot of people will defend it. If they feared something, then they'll defend the delusion that they've been, that the fear has induced in them. Speaking of delusions, a final note here that I made. We all have delusions to varying degrees, otherwise known as character flaws. Character flaws can destroy us if they are not restrained. They're restrained either by religion, loosely I'm saying religion, or lack of money. As I've often said, that people that come into, let's say they get a big lottery win or inheritance that they, something they didn't earn generally, come back 5 years later, and at least half of them, you know, they're either broke, divorced, and or, you know, many of them, you know, you just go down the list, or they're dead, or some of their family members are dead. The family's destroyed. It's ruined their, it's just utterly ruined them. Well, did the money ruin them? No, their own character flaws did. The character flaws were already present. They just, the money wasn't there for them to express the character flaws. Suddenly the character flaws could just, you know, come to full blossom, like the Uggs that they are. And the people are destroyed. You know, your character flaws can, you know, they can harm. And certainly they can, they will harm you. But we're all delusional to a certain degree. That's really what character flaws are. We're not seeing the world properly. And therefore we're, and we don't really, you know, kind of hand in hand, we don't relate to the world properly. You know, so that it's, and of course, the, you know, kind of tying back into the media, voice of Satan, tries to take advantage of that. You know, you've got to, we, every human being, if you're honest, you know, you've got this tug of war going on inside your own mind. You know what the right, generally, you know what the right thing to do is, but you know, then there's this other side that, you know, is kind of tugging on the wrong side of your ego. It's, oh, you know, you want to do such and such. Nobody will know about it. The hell they won't. Everything comes out in the end. There are no secrets. You think you're going to get away with stuff? You're delusional. Nobody gets away with anything. You really don't. So, anyway, those are the notes that I made, and I thought they were, you know, worth chit-chatting about for a few minutes. So, at this point, I guess I'll go ahead and play Joel's comment. So, here is Joel.
Hey, Tom. Joel here, again, from Ohio. And we're starting to open up here. Some things started just this week. And on May 12th, a lot of the retail is going to start to open. Namely, there's a mall here called Polaris Fashion Place that just announced they are opening again. Several others are also doing the same thing. A lot of retail that has been closed is reopening. So that's all a good thing. But, and of course, the stay-at-home people are you know, they're saying, oh, it's not a good idea and all this stuff. And I said, well, here, there's one simple solution. If you don't think it's a good idea, don't go to the mall. That simple. Teenagers are only going to go to the mall if they are allowed to drive. So they're going to, you know, you can't prevent people from doing things that you don't like. That's what they need to realize, but we'll never realize. But from the standpoint of, will I go to a mall after, you know, they reopen, the likelihood is yes. I am one of those few that believe that you can prevent the virus spread, or you can prevent mass casualties in other ways other than restricting freedoms. Now, I will say this. Now, here in Ohio, there's been a protest going on here and there. The protesters are getting down at the state house. Also doing it, and this is kind of the only problem I ever have with protesters, usually, on either side, is that I have them, the question I have
is why do they think they need to go and protest at the Governor DeWine is our governor, but his liaison on the health side of things is Dr. Amy Acton. And some of the protesters have been gathering at her house. Now, I'm okay with you protesting, but you need to leave. I believe that people need to leave the family out of it because the family didn't sign up for it. Unfortunately, Amy did because, let's face it, any government position is a political football at times. So, in any event, I'm not feeling endangered. I never was. I never ever felt a problem with anything. So, I'm going to go out. Actually, I've been going out. So, there's lots of places. What I found extremely weird, too, was that one of the things that's supposed to reopen there this week was construction at various places. In my case, I never really saw it. I'm not 100% sure what it is, but I think it's a Chipotle that's being built near my house. And they never stopped not building. So so I think this is a little bit crazy, a little bit overblown, and it's something that the left are just purely taking advantage of. So, all right, sir. Thank you for all you do. Thank you for delivering food and whatever else you're delivering. I appreciate it. Take care.
Thank you, Joel. So now in Arkansas, the construction never stopped. As to my knowledge, the construction just kept right on going. A lot of the retail kept right on going. Now, I don't know about the shopping mall, there's actually two of them in Northwest Arkansas, big ones. I don't know about those because I don't shop in malls. Rarely, I just, have no occasion to go to shopping malls generally, but, now I go to, like big shopping centers, that's a different story, but malls, not so much. So I don't know if they closed those down or not. Now, some mall companies closed, they decided to close, and there were some businesses, retail businesses, did on their own decided to close, like, Kohl's, which I'm sure you're familiar with, they closed nationwide, to my knowledge, including in Arkansas. There may have been some others, like some of the women's clothing retailers, the Gap or something like that, may have closed. I really don't know because I don't keep track of that stuff. But I know some of the retailers actually closed, and that was their choice. But in Arkansas, it really was, they could still do, retail could still operate if they wanted to. And so not just Walmart and Home Depot and Lowe's, but there's a place called At Home. That's a sort of a nationwide chain that's based out of, the Fort Worth, Dallas area. They remained open. And, from what I've seen, kind of when I see an at-home store, I usually the parking lots look like they always have. They've got a fair amount of business. And I think what happened, my theory with especially Home Depot and Lowe's, I think that people were kind of stuck at home, and then they just decided this would be a great time to, kind of redo this or redo that at home. And I think that really helped spur their sales. And I think that at-home store, and there are others I don't remember the name of the competitors. There may be different competitors to the at-home store, which is basically, it's like a big box. They have some of the same things that Hobby Lobby would have. But this is sort of like a big box home decorating store type thing. You know, it's a nationwide chain, and they've got some neat stuff in there. That remained open. There are some other competitors I can't remember the name of, but that remained open, and so a number of things remained open. Now, what I had to do, now Best Buy, when I bought that subwoofer a couple of days ago that I was talking about, what Best Buy has done nationwide is, for those that aren't aware, they kind of closed the store to the public. You can buy online, or you can kind of make an appointment, so-called appointment, to come in, you know, and then I think they'd probably let you in the store to shop or whatever, you know, for whatever it is you're shopping for. But, you know, I'm sure that idea killed their business, because people generally just like to go in a place like Best Buy, and a lot of the purchases you make in Best Buy are kind of, at least in my experience, has been, they're just sort of impulse buys, you know. So, and sometimes those can be very expensive impulse buys. But that kind of prevents all that. But anyway, I bought what I did. I found out because they had they showed that the store up in Rogers, Arkansas, had the thing, you know, they had it in stock. And so I, which that store is adjacent to one of the big shopping malls. You know, it's not in the shop, part of the shopping mall, but it's in the same, you know, it's like across the street from it. And so anyway, I placed the order and paid for it online, and then they sent me a text message, you know, maybe 30 minutes later that the order was ready. And so in the meantime, I knew they'd do that quick. So they have a number of employees, and so you just pull up to the front of the store and told them, well, actually I printed out the thing, I handed it to him, and printed it out before I left home. Handed it to him, and name, and he asked to see identification, so I gave him my driver's license, verified who I was, and then here he came with the subwoofer in the box. And so fortunately it fit in the back seat of my little car, you know, the 2017 Toyota IA that I have. It would not fit in the trunk. The box was too big for the trunk. Now the subwoofer probably would have fit, but the box itself was just too big for the opening. So, but it did, fortunately, it did go in the back seat. Now, if it wouldn't have fit in the back seat, I was going to take it out of the box, because that's what I had to do when I bought the laser printer that I have. I bought it about 3 years ago, the Canon laser printer. I had to take it out of the box, and it fit into the trunk, but just barely. Now, it would have fit in the back seat. Well, the box wouldn't fit, but once I took it out of the box, it would fit in either place, actually. But in this case, the box for the subwoofer would not fit in the trunk, but it did fit in the back seat. And so I was able to, you know, he put it in the back seat, and I closed the door, and eventually ended up at home. And then after running several other errands, you know, and so I got it out, carried it in, and unboxed it, and I made my little video about the subwoofer. So anyway, that's what Best Buy is doing. They're not letting you in the store, basically, and that's the only store that there may be other stores that have done the same thing, but. That particular thing seems unique to Best Buy, so it'll kind of be nice when those stores open back up and you can actually go in and kind of return to normal. And I think that's going to happen fairly quickly, because number one, people are getting restless. That's why the traffic has picked up so much. People are getting restless. The other thing, they're not as fearful as they were. The other thing is that once neighboring states, if you've got some governor that's dragging their feet and the neighboring state opens up, they're not going to be able to contain the restless natives very long. I think that's going to really put pressure on them. So you have states like California with the idiot Democrat governor, I think that, you know, maybe, you know, if the idiots, if they just keep in a state of lockdown, same way with New York, if they just stay in, want to stay in a state of lockdown, then they deserve what they get. They're going to vote for the Democrat, whatever the Democrat snake is anyway. They'll, it doesn't matter. They could put, you know, you're going to end up with Hillary, I think, because Biden is just imploding. You know, the media keeps trying to prop him up. Look at the videos that he, you know, of him messing around with young girls. You know, it's right on video, and he's right there with their families in many cases, and he's screwing around with their hair and whispering in their ear and, you know, God knows what, kissing their hair. You know, and then now, of course, there's allegations that have kind of popped up that have some backing. You know, and in one case, it was a 14-year-old girl that, you know, I think he made, you know, some sort of inappropriate comment to, you know, or more. So I don't, but, you know, and then besides that, the guy is, he's losing his mind. I mean, he's like, it's obvious that he's got some kind of serious dementia going on. So he can't, you know, string two words together. So he's got serious problems. So we're going to end up, I think Hillary's going to jump in. Hillary's going to be the, you know, people groan. I've been saying this now for months. And I think it's still going to come to pass. I think you're going to have Hillary jump in. And then you're going to have Hillary again. And the people in California, will, they'll vote for Hillary, and so will the people in New York. No doubt about it. Doesn't matter. You know, Satan himself could pop out, and you know, it's not far from Hillary. Satan himself could pop out, and they'd vote for Satan. If Satan was on the Democrat ticket. Which it is. So, but there's going to be a lot of pressure for, you know, competition among states, you know, because the states that open up, things are going to go back to normal. And so it isn't going to be long before things, I think, return to normal. You know, now the people that are saying, oh, it'll never go back to normal, they are either living in a delusion or some sort of a fantasy that they want to keep going. So, but I think it's just a matter of time before things do return to normal, and it is possible to, you know, not infect yourself or to minimize the possibility that you're going to infect yourself or somebody else. Mainly, do not, you know, don't touch your face. If you're in public and you've touched some public surface, resist the urge to touch your face. Don't touch your face. The other point is to, you know, wash, if you touch some public surface, wash your hands. It's not that hard. It really isn't. You know, just get some sort of wipes or something to wipe your hands. If you're out and about, when I was home, I went in the Sam's Club store and, ended up buying something called Wet Ones, and it's like a big, it wasn't a big package. It was like a package of, I don't remember how many individual sealed packets were in the box. But, you know, and the thing has got like, I think, 20 things per package. And they're sealed, they're resealable in this plastic package. And so I bought those primarily for the, you know, bring them with me in the truck, you know. So I periodically, I can just, you know, if I need to wipe, feel like I need to wipe my hands down or wipe my face or something with it, then it's great. And that's probably a product I'll continue to use even after this is all over with. But, you know, wash your hands, don't touch your face. If you've touched something in public, wash your hands before you touch your face. And I know that's a really tough thing to not touch your face. But you gotta, you know, learn to be conscious of it. It's not that hard. Well, it can be, though. Because the problem with learning to be conscious is that that conflicts with our character flaws. It conflicts with our... Because it causes us to be present in the moment. To be conscious of in the moment is a threat to the wrong side of our egos. And that's why it's so difficult to be present in the moment. It can be kind of a difficult thing for people, you know, to think, I'm not going to touch my face, and then the next thing you know, they're subconsciously, and you know, they're off in some la-la land dream world, and they're touching their face. And in this case, maybe infecting themselves. Now, Joel also mentioned construction. Now, the construction never stopped in Arkansas. And in fact, it's interesting. Now, some of the restaurants have actually, that I thought would be open, are actually completely closed for the, you know, until things go back to normal. And so I noticed that those businesses, some of them were taking advantage of the fact, and they were actually having repairs done to either their buildings and or their parking lots. You know, they're having, you know, and I guess that would make sense that they would do that, you know, when, you know, because no customers are around, and they can go ahead and get the building or whatever, the parking lot repaired, whatever they need done, and with minimal, because they're not interfering with their normal business, because their normal business is temporarily closed down. So, you know, I did notice a number of, you know, quite a bit of construction, you know, that type of stuff going on. You know, and it, you know, and I guess that kind of falls in line with people making repairs and home improvements during this time as well. So, but this is going to end, and I'm optimistic. You know, turn the news off. You know, remember that is the voice of Satan. It really is. That's Satan trying to get you to doubt yourself, to twist your view of reality. It's called propaganda. Twist your view of reality so you come to the wrong conclusion. Turn it off. I know it's hard. I know that it's tempting. It's kind of like a, you know, people visually, they're tempted, you know, they see the big bowl of ice cream or whatever, and they're tempted by it. Like an ice cream bar, chocolate-covered ice cream bar, they're tempted by it. So you see the stories and the you got all these different things that you can kind of look at, maybe get some sort of ego boost out of. That's the temptation, that you're going to get the little serotonin reward, either from the bowl of ice cream or the ice cream bar, or perhaps the news story. That's the temptation, and then you're being fed poison. In the case of ice cream, it's poison. In the case of an ice cream bar, it's poison. And in the case of any kind of mainstream news media story, it's poison. The best possible thing you can do is to spend some time learning how to stay in the moment. That's the best thing you can possibly do. And of course, if you go to my website, TruckerTomPodcast.com, up at the top, there's a link that says meditation. Click on that link. There are MP3 files hosted on my server that you can right-click on and download. You can play it right on your device if you want to do it that way. And it's a very simple meditation technique those files will teach you, this very simple meditation technique. The idea is to keep the point of awareness, because among other things, human beings have this point of awareness. We have this point of awareness, you know, learn to keep that out of your thoughts. You are not your thoughts. We think we're our thoughts. We're not. We have a point of awareness, and you can actually prove to yourself that you are not your thoughts. You, the point of awareness, are not your thoughts. And that's where, you know, if you can stay out of your thoughts, that's where you can learn to discern the difference between fantasy and reality. Between what is real, what is meaningful, versus what is fake, and what has no meaning at all. Except that, you know, maybe it's sugar for your ego, which has no meaning at all. So that's on my website. Can't promise it to help everybody, or I can't promise it's going to, you know, help everybody. I do believe it will help most people, but it is up to you to practice it, to learn how to pull yourself, you, the point of awareness, out of your thoughts. And if you can really learn, if you can really persevere and do that, the reward is unimaginable. It really is. To have genuine peace of mind is a pearl of great price. You know, it's priceless. Because if you learn to do that proper, you can be in the world, but not of it. So, anyway, I believe I'll go ahead and bring this to a close. Hope everyone is having a great week. And I will catch you later.
Remember, Trucker Tom is like Visa. He's everywhere you want to be.
Product reviews, restaurant reviews, photos, opinions, and more. Visit Trucker Tom's website at www.truckerphoto.com. You've been listening to Trucker Tom's podcast, and we'd love to hear what you have to say. All you have to do is send us an email to tom@truckerphoto.com.